Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, October 18th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
the Treasury Department stops short of labeling China a currency manipulator.
Stocks in China slump and Treasury yields rise as the Fed favors more rate hikes.
And a positive earnings picture helps boost equities in Europe.
President Trump cautioned against putting the entire U.S.-Saudi Arabia relationship at risk over a missing journalist. Plus, Trump's crackdown on administration leaks. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Red Sox won again in Houston. They're up 3-1 in the ALCS. Dodgers beat Milwaukee for a 3-2 NLCS lead. Knicks won their opener. Nets lost theirs. Rangers and Islanders both lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Use an integrated investment account from Interactive Brokers to earn, borrow, spend, and invest globally from one account. Learn more at IBKR.com.
And we're seeing a mixed picture for global stocks today. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about 6 points, Dow futures down 43, NASDAQ futures down 19. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%, so is the CAC in Paris. FTSE 100 up 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.8%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong little changed. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 3.21%. The yield on the 2-year 2.89%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.9% or 62 cents to $69.13 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% at $1.50 to $12.25.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.1524, and the yen, 112.55. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with a report from the Treasury Department that stops short of labeling China a currency manipulator. For more on that, we're joined live by Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Nathan, good morning. In the semi-annual report on foreign exchange rates, no major trade partner was designated a currency manipulator. Still, the Treasury dialed up criticism of China's state-driven economic model. The decision stands in contrast to comments from President Trump, who has repeatedly accused China of gaming the value of the yuan to gain an advantage in trade. It's a move that some actually interpret as giving Beijing breathing room to allow a weaker exchange rate. While formally declaring China a manipulator wouldn't have triggered sanctions or other U.S. penalties, it would have worsened an already tense relationship. The Chinese yuan today touched its weakest level in almost 2 years, now trading at 6.93 to the dollar. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen.
John, thank you. Minutes from the Federal Reserve September meeting show officials debating how high to push interest rates, with a majority favoring an eventual move above the neutral rate. Bloomberg's Brian Chapata has more.
It was very clear that the Fed officials have in mind that they are planning to keep going. We're going to see a rate hike in December and then a few more next year. So I guess the question is just how far above that neutral long rate are they willing to push things before they get a little too restrictive?
The Fed's rate path has drawn criticism from President Trump, who blamed it for last week's decline in stocks, but the minutes show no sign his remarks have influenced central bank policy.
Those minutes did weigh on equities in Asia today, with stocks in China tumbling even deeper into a bear market. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports.
Chinese shares extended the world's deepest slump Thursday as fears of widespread margin calls fueled a 3% tumble in the Shanghai Composite Index, which sank to a nearly four-year low as more than 13 stocks fell for each that rose. Efforts by local governments to shore up confidence in smaller companies failed to boost sentiment. The CSI 300 index fell 2.4% to reach its lowest level since March 2016. Japan's exports unexpectedly fell in September, the Nikkei faring better than China markets, but still down by 0.8%. And Australia's ASX 200 bucked the downbeat trend across the region, rising slightly as we saw heavyweights Telstra and CBA gain. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Italy's budget remains in focus. The EU budget chief, Pierre Moscovici, meeting officials in Rome to discuss the proposal. Bloomberg's John Fillane has details.
The EU has already said it will probably reject Italy's spending plan for next year, and Moscovici will be emphasizing that message. The EU economy chief reportedly won't be bringing any compromise with him. EU leaders at a summit in Brussels also have questions about Italy's budget. In Brussels, John Fullane, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thanks. On the Brexit front, UK Prime Minister Theresa May is now weighing a new plan to help break the deadlock in talks with the EU. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Well, Theresa May says she's considering keeping the UK bound to European rules for longer. In an attempt to break that deadlock, May confirmed on today that she might extend the 21-month transition period. This is the grace period that's due to kick in on Brexit Day and maintain trading and market rules throughout. The move would effectively prolong the terms of Britain's EU membership, but it could come at a high political price in London because the idea outrages Brexiteers in May's Conservative Party. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Sebastian. Earnings are helping boost stocks in Europe today. Let's run you through some of the results, beginning with Ericsson. The wireless network company's sales, earnings, and profit all topped estimates. It's Ericsson's third straight earnings beat and has the stock up 4% in Stockholm.
Shares of SAP, meanwhile, are down 1.5% in Frankfurt. Europe's biggest tech company reported earnings that fell short of estimates. There was a bright spot, though, with SAP raising projections for the year due to growth in its cloud business.
Nestle's reporting sales that rose 2.8%, matching estimates. The world's biggest food company also announced the departure of its highest-ranking executive in Asia. Nestle's shares are up 0.5% in Zurich.
Sales growth at rival Unilever also accelerated in the third quarter. The 4.5% growth was slightly above estimates, but concerns about the company's strategy and performance still linger after a botched plan to simplify its legal structure. Shares of Unilever are down more than 1% in London.
And Novartis is out with earnings that topped estimates. It's also buying U.S. drug maker Endocyte for $2.1 billion. The acquisition gives Novartis a potential blockbuster therapy for prostate cancer and has shares of Novartis up nearly 2%. Futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures are down 6 points, Dow futures down 46, NASDAQ futures down 21, the 10-year Treasury is down 2/32, the yield 3.21%, the euro $1.1522. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Karen, thank you. It is 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr and find out what else is going on in the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Donald Trump and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo cautioned against putting the entire U.S.-Saudi Arabia relationship at risk over the disappearance of Washington Post contributor Jamal Khashoggi. Trump reiterated to reporters that Crown Prince Salman's government agreed to buy $110 billion in U.S. weaponry during his visit to the country last year. However, Trump also says he is not giving cover to Saudi Arabia and just wants to find out what's happening. Republican Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska says he's sure the United States knows what happened.
I have lots of confidence in the U.S. intelligence community, and I think that they're building information that's very useful for the president to understand, and I hope he's listening to all that information, not just the arguments that are coming from Saudi officials.
The crisis over the missing journalist continues to escalate more than 2 weeks after he entered the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. President Trump's hunt for leakers in his administration snared a senior Treasury Department employee who was charged with giving a journalist bank records about suspicious transactions involving Paul Manafort and Rick Gates. A leaked Republican poll reveals the midterm elections are all about someone whose name isn't on the ballot, President Trump. Bloomberg's Martin DeCaro reports.
The private internal poll conducted for the Republican National Committee was leaked to Bloomberg Businessweek, and it contradicts what the president said Tuesday. That is, don't blame him if the GOP loses big on November 6th. The poll explicitly says research indicates the determining factor in the election is how voters feel about President Trump, not the economy, jobs, trade deals, or negotiations with foreign countries. A rep for the RNC declined to comment. Martin DeCaro, Bloomberg Radio.
This year's midterm congressional campaign is projected to cost $5 billion, according to an analysis by the Nonpartisan Center for Responsive Politics, making it the costliest in U.S. history. Residents of another building are dumping the Trump name. The New York Times reports Trump Place, a condo tower on Manhattan's Upper West Side, will remove President Trump's surname from its facade. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It's 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, the Boston Red Sox can win the American League pennant tonight in Houston, where they held on last night. The Sox led 8-6 in the bottom of the ninth inning. Craig Kimbrell walked the bases loaded, and Alex Bregman faced Kimbrell with three on, two out.
Outfielder step to the right to pitch. Swinging a line drive left field. Benintendi coming on, dives, and did he make the catch? He did! He got it!
The Red Sox win!
The Red Sox win.
As I just went head over heels in my chair.
Joe just fell down.
Oh, wow, what a catch.
Joe Castiglione, Red Sox Radio. If Benintendi doesn't make that catch, it might have scored three runs for a Houston victory. Instead, three straight wins for Boston. Jackie Bradley Jr. had the big hit in all three. Last night, a go-ahead two-run homer in the sixth inning. Astros now down 3-1 in the ALCS. Their hopes for a second straight championship hinge on staying alive tonight. They will have Justin Verlander on the mound. The Dodgers had Clayton Kershaw going yesterday. They're glad they did. He went seven innings, allowed just one run, three hits. L.A. beat the Brewers 5-2 to take a 3-2 NLCS lead to go back to Milwaukee for Game 6 tomorrow. Opening night for the Knicks, they scored 49 points in the second quarter. That's a club record. That's when Tim Hardaway scored 16 of his game-high 31 points. New coach Dave Fizdale, a winner at the Garden over Atlanta, who might be the NBA's worst team this season, 126-107. Nets lost their opener at Detroit 103-100. Chris LeVert had 27 for Brooklyn. The Rangers lost in overtime at Washington 4-3. Chris Kreider had tied it in the third period. Islanders fell 4-1 at Anaheim. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stajdauer. Nathan.
All right, thank you, John. And the billionaire owner of the NFL's Jacksonville Jaguars has withdrawn his bid for London's Wembley Stadium. Shahid Khan says the Football Association, which owns Wembley, might not be ready to part with it. Khan made an offer earlier this year. It was worth about $813 million to the Football Association. S&P futures down 6 points or nearly 0.25%. Dow futures down 48. That is a loss of 0.2%. NASDAQ futures down 23. 0.3% lower. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by BNB Bank. From Montauk to Manhattan, partnering with business in their financial success with local decision-making, custom solutions, and attention to detail. BNB Bank. Many success stories, one bank. BNBBank.com.
Bloom News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, Bloomberg Business App, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 617 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Erin Roman at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Erin.
Good morning, Karen. The U.S. didn't label China a currency manipulator, but warned it's keeping a close eye on the yuan. In its semi-annual report, the Treasury also said it's concerned about Beijing's lack of transparency. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo will report back on his Mideast trip today. His meeting with President Trump comes as reports swirl that Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman was complicit in the disappearance of that Saudi journalist. Today's Fed speakers may illustrate divergences on the FOMC. St. Louis President James Bullard and Governor Randy Quarles are both scheduled to make remarks. And aluminum is trading near the lowest in 3 months. The move comes after Alcoa cut its full-year forecast for global demand, signaling that China's intake may be slowing. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Karen, thank you. S&P futures lower this morning, down 7 points. Dow futures down 52. NASDAQ futures down 24. The DAX in Germany's up 0.33%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd. Yield 3.21%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.89%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.1% or 75 cents to $69 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1%, down $1.70 to $12.25.70 an ounce. And the euro, $1.1521. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you. A senior Treasury Department official has been charged, accused of leaking bank records to a reporter about Paul Manafort and Rick Gates. An antiviral pill taken daily by thousands of men across Australia led to a globally unprecedented reduction in new HIV cases. The results in the Gilead Sciences Truvada pill were published today in the Lancet HIV Medical Journal. In baseball, the Red Sox are a win away from heading to the World Series. Boston beat the Astros in Game 4 last night, 8-6, to take a 3-1 lead in the ALCS.
The Red Sox could win the pennant in Houston tonight. The Dodgers have a 3-2 lead over the Brewers after their 5-2 win in Game 5 of the NLCS. In the NBA, the Knicks won, the Nets lost. NHL, the Rangers lost at the Capitals in overtime. The Islanders and Bruins lost. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 620 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. A new plan to break the deadlock over Brexit. David Merritt, our European News Director, joins us from our London Bureau this morning to put us out of our misery. David, what's the... Is this going to end any time in my lifetime?
I'm not sure I can put anyone out of their misery, John, on this. A week ago, we were led to believe that this could be the crunch Brexit summit that just happened last night in Brussels, that there was going to be some sort of deal that everyone could sign up to. They were then going to schedule a special meeting next month to actually ink the deal. That is off the table because, yet again, we are at an impasse. There is a stalemate here, and there was no new proposals brought by Mrs. May, much to the puzzlement, it seems, of many of the other European leaders sat around the dinner table last night.
Without her.
Exactly. She made a presentation before dinner, then left. And left them over their meal rather scratching their heads, it seems, because there was nothing really new on the table. They're still at this deadlock over the question of the Irish border. What is the solution to that? There is some suggestion today of an extension of the transition period. That's when, after Britain leaves in March next year, there's going to be this 20-month period where nothing really changes. That's supposed to give everyone time to negotiate a free trade deal. It's pretty controversial in itself for the pro-Brexit people because it keeps Britain tied to the European Union rules with no say in them for quite a long time. There is a suggestion this morning that Britain would be open to extending that period. So that should help to get a really good free trade deal in place and therefore reduce the need for any further backstops on the Irish border. That's very, very controversial.
So if there is a deal, then there would be an even longer transition period, right?
Exactly. So the can just continues to get kicked further down the road until the point where you have to have some permanent arrangement in place between Britain. And this has been Mrs. May's strategy, you could say, all along this process. We've seen things being deferred and delayed and extended. And, at some point, maybe everyone is ground down enough that they sign up to it. The problem for her is back in Westminster. Her party is very, very restless about this. There are rumblings about leadership challenges. Is this a step too far to suggest extending this process yet again, that it's going to lead anyone in her party to openly revolt?
Okay, the dumb American question. Why don't we just have another vote?
Well, this is the other big question, of course. The government says, look, the decision was made in 2016. The British public made their choice. If we had a second vote, then why not a third or a fourth if we don't get the answer that we like? Having said that, there is a strong movement to have another vote on the deal with the public. At the moment, the opposition Labour Party is still not fully behind that proposal. That's really the key, I think. There's not a majority in Parliament to approve holding a second vote.
And remember, you're talking about the unintended consequences, but remember up north, the Scots, they didn't vote, they were against this. So if this were to go through, you face the possibility of Scotland maybe having a vote whether or not to stick with the UK.
That's right. The SNP that run the Scottish government, they are pushing for a second referendum of their own on independence. You remember back in 2014, a vote was held on that. Scotland voted to stay in. But they argue that the circumstances of Brexit materially change the relationship with the rest of the UK, as Scotland, as you said, voted to stay. So they should have another stab at that as well. That's not something that's really gaining a huge amount of traction amongst the Scottish public. I think, obviously, Brexit is one huge process. The idea of going into another process of extricating a country from a union maybe not be that appealing, although the SNP is certainly trying to push that. But yes, the future of the United Kingdom here, really is at stake, not only with Scotland, but also with Northern Ireland. That's what this fight is all about on the Brexit deal, is about whether Northern Ireland gets somehow cut off a bit from the rest of Britain, and they're maybe opening the door for a united Ireland down the future as well. So really the stakes for this are very high for Mrs. May.
Okay.
She doesn't want to be the Prime Minister who oversees the breakup of the United Kingdom.
David Merritt, thank you very much for bringing us up to speed on that. Our European news director joining us from our London viewer this morning. And as we look at sterling right now, British pound sterling 131, pretty much unchanged against the dollar. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
And the FTSE 100's little changed, with the stock 600 up about 0.25%. S&P futures down 0.25% right now, or 7 points. Dow futures down 53. NASDAQ futures down 23 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
The all-new Audi A6 is what happens.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Broker Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 99.1.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower. Benchmark U.S. Treasury yields near seven-year highs after minutes showing the Federal Reserve may favor more rate hikes next year.
Stocks in China tumbled deeper into a bear market, and the yuan touched its weakest level in almost 2 years after the U.S. Treasury stopped short of declaring China a currency manipulator. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice reports.
The Treasury's decision averts an escalation of a trade war and stands in contrast with public comments by President Trump. At the same time, the Treasury expressed deep disappointment that China doesn't disclose its foreign exchange intervention. It also dialed up criticism of China's state-driven economic model. The White House has slapped about $250 billion of tariffs on Chinese goods, and China retaliated with tariffs on $110 billion of American products. Vinny Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinny. The Turkish lira is rising for a 10th day amid signs Turkey and the U.S. are patching up a diplomatic spat that dented investor confidence this year.
We have a $2.1 billion deal in the pharmaceutical industry. Novartis has agreed to buy U.S. drug maker Endocyte for $2.1 billion.
Shares of Alcoa are up 5% in the pre-market. The biggest aluminum producer in the U.S. reported third-quarter earnings that were double estimates.
In Europe, shares of SAP are down 2%. Europe's biggest tech company reported earnings that fell short of estimates.
Shares of Ericsson are up 5%. The wireless network company's third-quarter earnings topped estimates.
And in the UK, retail sales fell more than economists forecast last month, with overall sales dropping 0.8% from August.
We're coming up on 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for the Volatility Index report. The VIX fell yesterday to close at 1740. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently at 1786. That is this morning's Volatility Report.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures are down 7 points. Dow futures down 50. NASDAQ futures down 26. The DAX in Germany is up 0.33%. CAC in Paris up 0.5%. The FTSE 100 up about 0.1%. 10-year treasuries down 1/32nd, yield 3.20%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.89%. NYMEX crude oil moving lower, down 1% or 68 cents to $69.08 a barrel. COMEX gold is little changed, down less than 0.1% or 90 cents to $12.26.50 an ounce. The euro at $1.1522 and the yen is at 112.50. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It is 6:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump cautioned against risking the entire U.S.-Saudi Arabia relationship over the disappearance of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Trump says Saudi Arabia is a tremendous purchaser of not only military equipment, but other things. The president also says that his comments about Saudi Arabia's denials of any involvement are not an attempt to take sides.
I'm not giving cover at all. With that being said, Saudi Arabia has been a very important ally of ours in the Middle East.
More than 2 weeks ago, Khashoggi entered the Saudi consulate in Istanbul and disappeared. It looks as if the November congressional elections will go down as the most expensive in U.S. history. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The nonpartisan Center for Responsive Politics says the midterm election is projected to cost
$5 billion. The center's executive director, Sheila Krumholtz, says she expected to see the numbers climb, but there's an astonishing spike in campaign donations. She says it's an indicator of the intensity driving this year's campaigns. The most expensive to date was in 2016 when $4 billion was spent, followed closely by 2010 when Republicans took over the House with the Senate. Polls also showing that voters in both parties are highly motivated. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
UK Prime Minister Theresa May told fellow EU leaders at a summit in Brussels last night that she's weighing a plan to stay tight to European rules. Bloomberg's Ian Wishart has more from Brussels.
The move, which would break the deadlock in Brexit talks, would see the UK extend the transition period that's already due to keep the UK bound to the bloc's rules for 21 months. The summit broke up without much progress. May addressed leaders for 15 minutes, then left as the others discussed Brexit for 2 hours. They decided against calling another summit in November to allow May more time to deliver the goods. In Brussels, Ian Wishart, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Documents obtained by Bloomberg show a New Jersey transit safety project that's disrupting train service to Manhattan has been slowed by years of foot dragging from the agency. NJ Transit records show deep-seated troubles with the project dating back to 2011. As the cost more than doubled, the cash-strapped agency fell behind on rail maintenance, let its ranks of train engineers dwindle, and triggered a federal operations audit. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It's 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the best regular season in Red Sox history. The postseason's been so far awfully good as well. Sox 4-0 on the road. They've won three straight from the Astros. They lead the ALCS 3-1. They can win the pennant tonight in Houston. Back and forth game four. The Sox led 3-1 and then trailed 4-3. They went back ahead 6-5 when Jackie Bradley Jr. hit a two-run homer. Sixth inning. He's got nine RBIs in the last three games. They hung on to win 8-6. Houston had the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth. The game ended when Andrew Benintendi made a diving catch. It appeared that Jose Altuve had hit a two-run homer in the first inning, but he was ruled out by fan interference. Very controversial call. Cost the Astros two runs, and they ended up losing by two. In the NLCS, Dodgers lead the series for the first time. They beat the Brewers 5-2 behind Clayton Kershaw. Game six is tomorrow in Milwaukee with L.A. up 3-2, a chance to win a second straight pennant. Quite an opener for the Knicks at the Garden. They were facing Atlanta, a team that has pretty much already given up on their season, but still, 49 points in the second quarter. That's a club record. The Knicks won 126-107. Tim Hardaway, 31 points in 29 minutes. And David Fizdale wins his first game as Knicks coach.
Awesome. Dream come true. I can't really put it into words. My brother was here to watch. My wife was here. My best friend growing up. I'm about to date myself. It's 38 years I've been friends with this guy. So, yeah, it was great. And I know my mom was watching at home, so it means a lot.
Nets lost a tight game at Detroit, 103-100. Rangers faced the defending Stanley Cup champs, took them to overtime, but Washington on a Matt Niskanen goal won 4-3. Islanders lost at Anaheim 4-1. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
President Trump has been known to exaggerate China's unfair trade advantages. But his latest complaint, having to do with the seemingly trivial matter of global postal fees, highlights an unfair imbalance that should be relatively easy to put right. Arcane rules established by the Universal Postal Union make it possible for a Chinese e-retailer to send a package to a U.S. customer at a lower cost than what an American competitor would spend to ship the same thing to a neighboring state. This is because the union allows poor nations to pay lower rates than wealthy ones, and still places China in the same category as Bosnia and Botswana. But rather than withdraw from the Universal Postal Union, the White House should seek a fair arrangement as part of its larger trade negotiations with China. This is one issue in which Trump's demands are justified and, with the right approach, within reach. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion. Or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. States have taken it upon themselves to bolster cyber defenses for the midterm elections instead of waiting for Congress to act. Nancy Lyons has more on this from our Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Advocates say hacks of state voting systems could lead to rigged vote counts, confusion, and public distrust. And the concerns were evident at a recent conference of secretaries of state who oversee elections.
Cybersecurity went from a topic that basically wasn't talked about in 2016 to is taking up 75% of their panels this year.
Bloomberg's Michaela Ross says eight states have passed legislation to protect their systems, but the threat remains.
Even though DHS is saying that the activity that they're seeing in 2018 is less than what they saw in 2016, they also acknowledge that that could change very quickly.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. 6:39 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Industrial greenhouse gas emissions are down, and the Trump administration is crediting itself. The Environmental Protection Agency released data from industrial facilities that showed total U.S. greenhouse gas emissions fell 2.7% between 2016 and 2017. And the agency's acting administrator, Andrew Wheeler, gave credit to President Donald Trump's regulatory reform agenda, declaring in a news release, while many around the world are talking about reducing greenhouse gases, the U.S. continues to deliver. The celebratory statement was issued even as the administration rolls back pollution curbs that could imperil progress, and it drew immediate scorn from environmentalists. An official at the Natural Resources Defense Council labeled it both political plagiarism and vandalism, charging that Trump's EPA appointees are claiming credit for their predecessor's work and trying to destroy it at the same time. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. Futures contracts pointing to a lower open on Wall Street on this Thursday morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up, the morning call brought to you by Columbia Bank. With 48 locations across New Jersey, you're never far from their wide range of banking solutions. From personal to business banking, mobile and online, you can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
The day. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk on a day when futures are moving lower. Here is Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure right now, with Dow futures down 63 points, S&P's drop 8.5, and Nasdaq futures declined by 30. The U.S. 10 yield at 3.21%. Oil is trading lower, and Shanghai fell 2.9% overnight. Well, European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, Philly Fed and initial jobs claims, and at 10 o'clock, the leading index. After the bell last night, U.S. did not label China a foreign exchange manipulator, and Alcoa beat estimates. Shares are trading higher by 6%. In the pre-market. And regarding some of the earnings this morning, Danaher beat, Textron mixed, and look for Philip Morris and Blackstone to report around 7 a.m. In deal news, Novartis to buy cancer drug maker Endocyte for $2.1 billion. And wrapping things up, The Gap downgraded to underweight over at J.P. Morgan. Live from the First at Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney, Karen.
All right, thanks, Bill. And, of course, you're watching shares of Endocyte up 50% in early trading. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump is facing increased pressure from Congress over his handling of journalist Jamal Khashoggi's disappearance. Lawmakers from Trump's own party are openly voicing their discontent and threatening to sanction the Saudi government over the objections of the president. President Trump called for his cabinet members to cut 5% of their budgets. Trump says it's an effort to get rid of the fat. In baseball, the Red Sox beat the Astros in Game 4 last night, 8-6, to take a 3-1 lead in the ALCS. The Dodgers have a 3-2 lead over the Brewers after their 5-2 win in Game 5 of the NLCS. In the NBA, the Knicks won, the Nets lost. In the NHL, the Rangers lost at the Capitals in overtime, the Islanders and Bruins lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal. Sesame Street won't be the same. Puppeteer Carol Spinney, who played Big Bird on the children's show for almost 50 years, is retiring. Spinney, who is 84, also played Oscar the Grouch. Spinney says the physical requirements of performing the characters have become too difficult. Nathan, his robe will be passed on to others.
Yeah, I think Wow is right. I think I heard Big Bird in the Sesame Street theme song saying Wow. I mean, almost a half century Carol Spinney has been in the Big Bird costume, and it seems as though he's never lost a step.
No. I remember that first season, though. Big Bird kind of looked like a deranged turkey buzzard.
You remember the first season?
I do. I watched the first season. But wow. Then he evolved, and then he got cute, and then he made appearances on the Hollywood Squares and everything. So.
Yeah.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. Time to move from Sesame Street to K Street and check what's going on in D.C. Some of our top stories in the nation's capital include White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow speaking today at the Detroit Economic Club. Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats is among the speakers at a D.C. Cyber Talks event on cybersecurity priorities. And President Trump kicking off another round of campaign-style rallies tonight in Montana. Also making news this morning, the mounting pressure on Saudi Arabia to explain the disappearance and apparent killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter is following that and joins us now. Kate, the administration has been taking, I think it's safe to say, a pretty cautious tack with the Saudi royal family. And now this is starting to expose a pretty significant rift with Republicans on Capitol Hill.
Absolutely. I think that it's kind of interesting in the context of Republicans who've been pretty hesitant to challenge the president on a number of other issues or even have, you know, really strongly backed the president are really divided with him and pretty far apart from him on this particular issue. Lindsey Graham is a good example of someone who in the most recent fight over the Kavanaugh nomination was, you know, one of Trump and Kavanaugh's biggest defenders in that. And, you know, now he's someone that's really being critical of the president in terms of his policy towards Saudi Arabia. Trump has, I think, from the beginning been eager to be closer to Saudi Arabia than many Republicans in Congress would like. And so I think that this was kind of a rift that was waiting to be exposed. And this incident involving the Saudi journalist is really just kind of laying that bare.
No, I mean, how far could this rift deepen? I mean, there has been increasing talk among Republicans on Capitol Hill about sanctioning Saudi Arabia. Could Congress do that over the president's head?
Well, I think that, you know, the president's made pretty clear that he would not want to do that he would not want to cancel arms sales with Saudi Arabia. But I would be surprised if we didn't see sort of a growing push to do that in Congress. And, you know, to an extent, you know, Congress does have some authority when it comes to sanctions. The president has some executive authority dealing with that, but there is a legislative component. So, you know, the Congress could essentially kind of force Trump into a position where he'd have to choose between, you know, vetoing something like that or, you know, backing down from his stance.
Yeah, and it sort of raises the question of whether the administration is choosing between backing Saudi Arabia and backing Turkey, a NATO ally. If this administration continues to appear to give Saudi Arabia the benefit of the doubt, how could that affect relations with Turkey, particularly after the release of the American pastor seemed to cool things off?
Yeah, I mean, the relationship with Turkey generally and between Trump and Erdogan specifically has been fraught from the, you know, from the early days of Trump's administration. And so I think that, as you say, the release of the American pastor kind of cooled things down a bit. But, you know, this is kind of threatening to heat it back up. And I think that given that Turkey is a NATO ally and there's already a lot of concern out there about Saudi Arabia's record on human rights issues and some of the details that are coming out about what may have happened to the journalist in the Saudi consulate are particularly disturbing. I think that this could, even in the court of public opinion, you know, the U.S. could be seen as siding with, you know, potential Middle East power that is not necessarily subject to the same sort of standards on human rights as, you know, NATO allies would be. And so I think that, you know, in a weird way, Turkey seems like they're on the right side of this in the U.S. From a human rights standpoint, even though Erdogan doesn't have a particularly strong human rights record himself.
All right, real quickly, let's turn to the midterms. Now less than 3 weeks away and President Trump getting ready to headline another rally out west tonight. And the cycle is already shaping up to be the most expensive on record. Just quickly.
Yeah, $5 billion, which, you know, every election tends to be the more expensive than the last, but we're certainly seeing that happen in this midterm election. And, you know, it's really just kind of, this is just an appetizer for 2020, which will be, you know, astronomical in terms of how much people will spend.
Yeah, it all continues. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks as always. You can read much more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. Tune in to Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It is 6:54 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Ain't it great to have so much money in politics? Record amounts of money are being raised and spent for this election cycle. Anecdotally, I'm noticing a lot more activity as a result. It feels like election season, and there's hard data to back that up. Early voting totals are unusually high. It's hard to prove, but odds are that well-funded campaigns have sparked extra interest for many voters. Am I thrilled that wealthy activists are giving huge sums? Not especially, but I'm not all that upset about it either, since it's accompanied by huge new flows of small donations. When it comes to campaign finance, I'm for floors, not ceilings, as long as there's meaningful disclosure. I'd love to see public financing that would give candidates, even in seemingly hopeless districts, the chance to run a real campaign. I have no problem with allowing unlimited donations on top of that. The bottom line, because self-government is important, I think it's fine to spend a lot of money on it. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. It is coming up to 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. And here's John Tucker.
Purple Carrot has found a unique niche in a growing market for meal kits. These meals are plant-based. The small company from Boston was founded by Andy Levitt. In 2012, he was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. He found that eating plant-based foods greatly helped his symptoms. In 2014, he seeded the business with $100,000 of his own money and started shipping meal kits from his home. Then things started to take off in the spring of 2016.
We were approached by Whole Foods Market to introduce the first retail product for a meal kit in a Whole Foods store.
Next came a partnership with Tom Brady and the quarterback's TB12 nutrition program that doubled the size of the company overnight. Levitt describes the meals as vegan food for non-vegans who want to eat healthy. The company now has 3 distribution centers and will probably ship about 5 million plant-based meals in 2018. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right. Thank you, John. And we are watching this headline right now, crossing the Bloomberg Invesco to acquire MassMutual's Oppenheimer funds. Again, that just crossing the Bloomberg. We also heard from Travelers this morning, third quarter revenue beating the highest estimate of analysts we surveyed. Futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures down 10 points. Dow futures down 77. NASDAQ futures down 34. The DAX in Germany higher, up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 3.20%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.89%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 1.1%. Straight ahead, Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Guy Johnson. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.